Good morning. It is 6:41, Wednesday, November 23rd. It is time for your KDNK local newscast for this Wednesday morning. I'm Steve Cole, live from the heart of Carbondale's Creative District with KDNK News Director Gavin Dahl, who has a couple headlines for us. Good morning, Gavin.
Good morning, Steve. A new report released yesterday by the Colorado Center on Law and Policy called Vital Signs highlights the dramatic influence of income, race, and place on health. Health outcomes for low-income Latinos, African Americans, and other people of color are not as favorable as the outcomes for affluent white people. Other findings include that income affects life expectancy, that the share of Coloradans reporting poor physical and mental health is substantially higher among lower-income people across racial and ethnic groups, and that the economic gap between urban and rural areas of the state has continued to widen since the Great Recession, with direct consequences on health outcomes. Learn more at cclponline.org. The White River National Forest on Monday approved an expansion plan for the Arapaho Basin Ski Resort that will open up over 300 acres of new terrain, plus a new chairlift to the highest lift point, the top of Lanawi Mountain, and a summer adventure tour including new trails. Citizen groups oppose the plan, but Forest Supervisor Scott Fitzwilliam says the environmental footprint will be minimized. He also says this could be the last major ski resort expansion in the White River National Forest. Last night, Dan Richardson was formally sworn in as mayor of Carbondale. Earlier this month, Carbondale's Bike, Pedestrian, and Trails Commission held a public hearing at Town Hall to discuss creating safer routes through town at night. KDNK News intern Raleigh Burley reports.
In Carbondale, citizens have expressed an increased worry about traveling safely at night, particularly after multiple nighttime assaults this year. The town has established a process to respond to the public's request to improve travel by night for bikers and pedestrians. As the Bike, Pedestrian, and Trails Commission meeting began, member Nikki Delson highlighted the need for education and informing citizens. For example, that Carbondale PD will offer a free ride home for anyone who contacts them. Next, participants and trustees split into three small groups to discuss priorities. Every person was asked to place markers on a printed map of Carbondale streets, identifying the specific areas where they felt safe, moderate, or particularly in danger, based on their own experience while traveling at night. Specific strategies were discussed, including the installation of police boxes, improved sidewalks, and lighting infrastructure. Increased patrolling and the implementation of an education program for residents and visitors. Here is land and shelter architect Andy Korber summarizing her group's assessments.
The big idea, I would say, from our table, or the idea that I think we had the most, like, coalesced agreement around, is more of a safety program. The idea that you would identify routes would not be functional unless they were somehow marked, somehow, like, conveyed to people, like through, you know, a Facebook page. Maybe a police officer is identified as the safety police officer, or there's a public works person that's dedicated to that. That there is an idea that, you know, the way that you paint bike rows, like maybe there is a signifier that's like, this is one of these priority routes. It's not necessarily a bike on the ground, but I don't know, it's a light, it's a police shield, it's something like that. And that's coordinated to the places where police would have more regular patrols. So if you are a woman walking home at night and you have this concern and you know about this program, you would be able to like use that knowledge and in the choices that you make for your route home. But just increasing lighting and sidewalks was something, generally speaking, good agreement upon, and that would be a good idea as well as this program. You know, that was, I think, the one thing that was maybe a little new. And the map as presented seemed like really great work. The one question that was brought up at our table was whether or not perhaps Went or Second, that there was maybe some missing north-south links in the middle chunk of town that could be considered as additions. And generally speaking, the places where people thought lighting and sidewalks were lacking now were sort of among the kind of extremities, like the Village and the north end of 133, or down at the south end of the Crystal Valley Trail, that like the further you got from downtown, the worse the like safety, lighting, and sidewalks were. So those would be our table's choice of where to start in that. Any additions?
Well, no. We were speaking about possibly signage.
Yep.
Yeah, you were speaking about on the road, but either signs
or
mounted, yep, or something that isn't expensive and would get the word out. I like the idea you brought up about maybe doing a program at the high school to, you know, let students know that these are designated.
There has to be like a kind of campaign,
safer reds,
like an awareness campaign.
That was Trustee Marty Silverstein, who was in the same group. Next, Trustee Ben Baumfalk summarizes his group's discussion.
So one thing, it was really great having Chris here, who's one of our police officers and does some bike patrol as well, as car patrol. And he pointed out that most of these major priority routes that have already been identified are where they patrol anyway. So I think that there is a lot of overlap there. And that we identified very similar, that like 2nd Street is already in pretty good shape as far as feeling safe and having a good pathway and eyes on the street and police patrol. With a little bit of increased lighting, we can probably make it really good. 133, same thing. We all know about the gap in lighting up north of between Village and Cowan that we're probably going to address. Same thing kind of occurs down south and then along just south of Main by City Market. Between like City Market and Wells Fargo, there's a pretty dark spot evidently there. But we kind of started listing the routes. We kind of went through them one at a time and talked about where minor improvements are needed and where more significant stuff is needed. I've been very interested in getting community input on how we address the Rio Grande Trail in this process. That would be a very expensive thing to do to light that. And whether that's our top priority or our second or our third or somewhere farther down the list, I think for this group, it was further down the list. Is that accurate?
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I would agree with our group the same.
Yeah.
That's a really important finding for the trustees. Like that, if nothing else came out of this process except that of focus on some other areas first, that would help us. Because if we focus on that, we're going to spend a lot of money and we're not going to be able to do a whole lot of the rest of these things. If we can do some smaller things elsewhere, that might just go a lot further. And that's why we slowed this process down and went through a lot of steps, was to get that kind of insight. We did talk about where police already patrol. We talked a little bit about call boxes, Meg was saying, in her college experience, and I think that's a good one to draw on, that the rule was sort of, if you can't see the next call box from the one you're at, then it's not an effective system. So if we get into call boxes, it's probably a pretty big undertaking. You know, having one here or there probably doesn't really have an impact. And then we also talked about the fact that a really well-lit part of town, we have a little blue square on it, is that little triangle between 8th, just south of Main, and just east of 133 and west of 8th. That little triangle there is really well-lit. It's pretty well-populated, well-lit, safe-feeling area. We might be on the right track with focusing on some increased lighting along the north section of 133, improved sidewalk and lighting along the Village and the north part of 8 to make that connection. It's kind of top priorities.
Moving forward, the commission will apparently focus on education as well as lighting and sidewalks for 8th Street and 2nd Street. The Rio Grande Trail has not been determined a priority at this time. Community members are invited to participate in the next step of this process. Carbondale's Bike, Pedestrian, and Trails Commission will be meeting once again on Monday, December 5th, to continue the discussion. There are surveys available at Town Hall for those who wish to voice opinions on the matter. For KDNK, I'm Raleigh Burley.
That was our news intern, Raleigh Burley, with his first story for KDNK, reporting on Carbondale's Bike, Pedestrian, and Trails Commission public hearing earlier this month. KDNK will continue to cover the story of safe routes through town. For KDNK, I'm Gavin Dahl.
A recent Facebook post said that students at Coleridge High School, west of Newcastle, had built a wall in the music room, symbolic of the wall President-elect Trump has threatened to build between the border of the U.S. and Mexico. But school principal Richard Ellerson told KDNK's Amy Haddon Marsh that no such wall was found.
On the day immediately after the election, we had prepared a statement for students because we do have a pretty high Hispanic population in our school, and we are concerned that kids feel safe at school. We're not really interested in what country they're from or what parents they are born to. They're people, and their safety at school is important to us. So before there had ever been any reports of any incident, we had read a prepared statement over the public address to the students and the staff, making sure that any incidents of any kind would be taken seriously and they would be handled swiftly. Friday, there was a Facebook post or something that was brought to my attention. I don't remember the gentleman's name that had posted it. And so the district office quickly asked me some questions. I had the technology department get on the cameras and determine if indeed anything like that had happened. We questioned students. Some parents were involved, and they had checked with their children, and we're talking about Hispanic and our white population. And nobody had any information. We couldn't substantiate over our cameras, and no parents or students reported to us that this incident had occurred. So to the best of our knowledge, as described in the Facebook post about some students constructing a wall, we found nothing. Of course, it was alarming. So after we found nothing doing our due diligence, we asked the Garfield Sheriff's Department to get involved and conduct an investigation and see if they could get to the bottom of where the story started. It ended up being unfounded, and I did receive a follow-up communication from our director of communications here in the district that the person who posted the Facebook statement had apologized at some point during the last week, apologized for the post, and something to the effect of their information was not correct.
It sounds like it was just a rumor.
That's exactly what it turned out to be, and that's what I'm pleased to report.
Coleridge High School Principal Richard Ellertson clarifying that no wall was built in the music room at his high school last week. From the Much Ado Department. All city and county offices throughout our broadcast area will be closed to the public on Thursday and Friday for Thanksgiving, with normal office hours resuming Monday. Colorado Parks and Wildlife will be waiving admission fees at all 42 state parks the day after Thanksgiving on what they're calling Fresh Air Friday.